So our scripture passage tonight is the 23rd Psalm, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think that it's safe to say that if we did a poll of any group of people that have any level of familiarity at all with the Bible, even non-Christians, we try to ask them what passages of Scripture were the most familiar to them, we get two answers. Any guesses?
John 3:16
and Psalm 23. There's no doubt about it, okay? You know, it's funny that it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere, even in the non-believing world. These are the two most familiar Bible passages that exist. We find them at the top of the list. And while these passages have such a great familiarity, though, it seems that in today's church, it's actually not often that you hear the 23rd Psalm, except at funerals. It feels a bit like it's been swept away into the closet of our lives, and there's one of those fire extinguishers with a glass door on the side that says, "Break only in case of emergency." That's only when we pull it out. But the 23rd Psalm speaks in rich language about the confidence we have in our Shepherd Savior and the love He has for His children. It's well fitted and it belongs in an occasion such as a funeral. However, what I would like to do tonight is to show you some ways that we can see our great Shepherd at work in our ordinary lives. The lives we live the other 6 days of the week. The Reformation Study Bible has a wonderful comment regarding the 23rd Psalm. It says that, I quote, "The image of God as shepherd is inexhaustibly rich." The image of God as a shepherd is inexhaustibly rich. I can only wonder to guess how many times the 23rd Psalm has been used over thousands of years to provide comfort and confidence to God's people in funerals, beside hospital beds, and from the pulpit. Oh, how often Jesus referred to Himself in that shepherd role, such as in John chapter 10, where He describes Himself as the good shepherd. And He tells us in there just how far He'll go for His sheep that He loves. Even more than 2,000 years later, we can understand and identify with God's shepherd leaders such as Moses, the shepherd, the former shepherd, leading the nation of Israel through the wilderness. And David, the shepherd boy who became king and led the nation of Israel, both of whom pointed to Jesus, the Lord and King of His church, and being the shepherd of all His people. Well, what I want you to see in these six short verses is the Lord Jesus shown in five different roles that our great shepherd performs for His children, five ways He cares for us. I'm going to give you all five, and then I'm going to tell you what happened to me. So, the first is in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We see the Lord as a provider. The second is in verses 2 and 3. He's a sustainer. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. In verse 4, we see the Lord as a protector. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In verse 5, we see him as the victor. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And then in the last verse, verse 6, we see him as the finisher. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My intent was to do all of this in one message and touch on each of those five things. But as I got into it, I realized I couldn't do that. It just wasn't possible. There's too much to say about each of these roles that Christ does for His children. So, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to focus on just the first one, the provider. Lord willing, I'll complete the others over time as I'm needed to fill the pulpit here. So, anyway, I had good intentions to get all the way through it, and I changed my mind as it happened. So, I apologize for that, but it was the right thing to do. So. So, tonight we're going to focus on the shepherd Lord as a provider. We see this as we read verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. According to Sinclair Ferguson, the Hebrew word that David uses here means for want, means to lack nothing. It's the same word that's used elsewhere in the Old Testament to describe God's provision for the Israelites during their wilderness wanderings. The same exact thing, to want nothing. So to lack for nothing, to not want. But there's another word here that we need to bring into the picture, that's in the Scripture, that we need to bring in and understand a little bit more. Because the Lord will provide everything we need, and we're to daily trust Him for that. Just like the Israelites in the wilderness, we're to lack for nothing. But, it's an interesting word, shall. It says, I shall not want. And up until about 15 or 20 years ago, the word shall was used throughout legal contracts in the English language to mean has a duty to. So shall was the imperative word. And if you dig up a contract, you'll find that. Alright? I had to look it up to see how long ago they actually started changing this. But in other words, shall did not mean may, it means must. Things have changed in the world of lawyers, judges, and courts, and now the word must is the preferred terminology for that phrase, having a duty to. But knowing how this word was used when it was originally translated, we can confidently conclude that we have not just Him giving us to lack nothing, but we have a duty to not want. Okay? It's our duty. It's not just a convenience thing. It's not a may thing. We shall not want because we can trust in Him. But we do have to be careful about that to understand that this is not, it's a command, but it's not a command so that we are think we're doing something with our fists clenched so that our taskmaster God will somehow be pleased with our efforts. But it is a duty, and Matthew Henry is very helpful here when he says about this verse. I'm going to quote, stick with me for a second because this is a great quote from Matthew Henry. I'm going to read it twice. More is implied than it is expressed. Not only I shall not want, but I shall be supplied with whatever I need. And if I have not everything I desire, I may conclude it is either not fit for me or not good for me, or I shall have it in due time. I'm going to read that again. More is implied than is expressed. Not only I shall not want, but I shall be supplied with whatever I need. And if I have not everything I desire, I may conclude that it is either not fit for me or not good for me, or I shall have it in due time. God is not just a provider who puts the goods on the store shelf for us to come and go and take whatever it is that we want whenever we like. No, the God who saves us also knows us far better than we even know ourselves. And as so often is said in the Scriptures, He provides for us like a father who loves his children. Even the things we think we want, when we don't get them, it's out of the Lord's goodness. It may be painful at the time, but He's taking care of us. He's providing for us. We can see a vivid picture of God the Provider demonstrated when we look at the account of Jesus feeding the 5,000, which is actually about 25,000 when you count the women and the children there. So it's a big group. Jesus had compassion on them. He didn't just fix them a box lunch and send them on their way. I want to read this brief passage together. It's in Matthew. I want to read the account in Matthew 14, verses 13 through 20. Matthew 14, I'm sorry, 20, 21. 13 through 21. So as we look at the Shepherd Savior as our provider, let's look at this example of Him as a provider here when He was on the earth. Now when Jesus heard this, He withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by Himself. Just to back up a second. So the context of this is what He had just heard about was the death and beheading of John the Baptist. So that's where this actually takes place. So this miracle of Him feeding the 5,000, of this compassion and providing for them that we're going to see, took place, you know, in His own personal grief as He knew His cousin had been killed. For his name, for standing up for Christ. So now when Jesus heard this, which is about John the Baptist, He withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by Himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed Him on foot from the towns. When He went ashore, He saw a great crowd, and He had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to Him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to Him, We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And He said, "Bring them here to me." And then He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, He looked up to heaven and said a blessing. And then He broke the loaves and gave them to His disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. As Matthew said, first He healed their sick, and then He didn't just see to it that they got the bare minimum daily FDA requirement of calories, okay? He saw to it that they were satisfied with food left over. In other words, they were fully satisfied. And as those who live in a time and place of plenty, it is hard for us to comprehend the impact of this. But at that time and place, being fully satisfied and having food left over was the province of only the wealthiest among them, which these crowds were most certainly not. So as we consider God as our provider, there's something else to consider. If we're going to trust someone to provide for us, then we must be confident that they can fulfill that responsibility to deliver on the promise. We see Jesus doing that here, and it should give us that confidence. We see that first, in that He healed their diseases, and He did it by speaking and touching them as He always did throughout His ministry. He didn't need a bandage or an antibiotic or an operating room or an emergency room. He just had to speak it. Secondly, consider the food He provided. He didn't ask the disciples to go catch more fish or harvest more wheat to get the job done. He created more food by the speaking of His Word. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to read in John 1 and Hebrews 1, speaking about the significance of Him speaking His Word. John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Hebrews, we see in verses 1 through 3, long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir, the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Well, what I want you to see from this miracle is Jesus, the shepherd, as the creator of the universe. He creates something from nothing. Ex nihilo, as the reformers used to like to talk about it. We think of creation and how we think of us creating something, but for us to create something is, you know, for me to take this piece of paper and fold it or write on it or something, but, you know, He doesn't have a piece of paper. He can make the piece of paper from nothing. Creating out of nothing is the realm of God alone. And He's much more, because He can do this, He's much more than capable of fulfilling His promise to provide for your needs, dear Christian. The Apostle Paul also helps us to sharpen our understanding of God as our provider. In particular, when writing to the church at Philippi, written from where? Jail. From a prison cell, okay? That entire epistle shows us how to be content with whatever situation we find that God has placed us in and what He has given us. And in Philippians 4:19, he concludes that letter by saying, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So we see the shepherd as the provider, clearly demonstrated in Psalm 23 and then throughout Scripture. So as we come to a close, I want you to think about these nine little words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a mouthful that is. In these few words, we see the Lord, our shepherd, as the only one with not just the ability to be our provider, but the only one who has a love for His sheep that knows no depth, and that He is the provider who gives His children what they truly need. Christmas is barely over. What, 2 weeks, a week and a half? But it won't be long until we celebrate Easter. And that's where this is most clearly demonstrated. At Easter, we're confronted with the bloody reality of the cross, but also the empty tomb. And there we see the Lord our shepherd as the provider of not just our daily bread, but as the provider of the thing we most desperately need, the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation of our souls. This is the gospel on full display. If you never turn to Christ, confessing your sin and trusting in Him, in His sacrifice on the cross and the resurrection from the dead, don't wait another day. Cry out to Him right now. Psalm 23 is a psalm for life, not just for funerals. Let's pray. God our Father, as we close out this evening, I thank You that You speak to us in such rich imagery. And You speak to us through David's words. But then You show us through the works of our Savior and through the Apostle Paul. Even more, You help us to understand the depth of what it means for You to be our provider, our shepherd, our God, and our King. And we thank You for that. We praise You for that. And we lift this service up to Your name and Your glory. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.